I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program today, Clayton McDonald and Jazz St. Louis's Gene Dobbs Bradford will join us to talk about a memorial concert this weekend for Clayton's father, Richard McDonald, who founded the St. Louis-based record label Max Jazz. Rich McDonald was an enthusiastic promoter of both jazz music and jazz artists. And we're going to preview the new festival season of Opera Theater St. Louis with soprano Kelly Caduce and tenor Sean Panikkar. We begin with the 7th Annual Spring to Dance Festival presented at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center by Dance St. Louis. The three-day event features 30 professional dance companies and all types and styles of dance. Michael Utoff is Dance St. Louis's Artistic and Executive Director. Good to see you, Michael.
My pleasure.
Also here, Mark Yonnelly, founder of the Chicago Tap Theater, and his partner on and off stage, Jennifer. Welcome to you both.
Thank you
so much.
Michael, this three-day Spring to Dance Festival opened last night and continues tonight and tomorrow night. And each evening features 10 different companies. And you say that the festival is more than a celebration of dance. You say it's a celebration of life.
It is, because it makes all these incredible artists work with one another, see each other, appreciate each other's work, and creates an excitement in the audience that extends beyond the actual performance, because they are living an experience that doesn't know where it's going to lead them. They have 10 opportunities to see something special. If they don't like it, they can sort of relax, because the next thing would be totally different.
And therefore, sort of like our weather.
Yeah, weather and life as a whole. I mean, you go to bed, you wake up, and maybe something nice will happen. But we've been very fortunate that most of the 10 things that we show are fabulous, and last night was a huge success.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a great opportunity, well, for lovers of dance, but also for people who maybe aren't familiar with dance at all to just get a really good taste of everything.
That's the whole objective. For our people, those who we know come, the opportunity is for them to experience groups that we wouldn't otherwise be able to bring. Because they might not have the attraction, they might not have draw that kind of people for the expense that we will be incurring. But for those other individuals who are sort of in the borderline, that they think that dance is inaccessible or they're threatened by it, this is the best opportunity to acquaint themselves with an art form that couldn't be more accessible to anybody. It transforms you through the human body. So it's a great opportunity for them to fall in love with themselves and with the dance.
Well, Mark Yonnelly, Chicago Tap Theater.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your company.
Sure. We started the company about 11 years ago, and our express purpose was to take tap dance to places that people didn't expect. We wanted to take tap dance to narrative places, to emotive places, and show that tap dance, while it can be purely a beautiful expression of music made visual, can also offer maybe deeper pleasures or other pleasures that go beyond that.
Is tap more complicated than we think?
I think it can be. I mean, I think in many ways it is one of the most elemental art forms, because there's nothing to me more kind of elemental or pure than the heartbeat, right, than the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that tap dance connects to in a very deep way. But at the same time, I think sometimes we have a simplified notion of what tap dance is or can be. And part of our job as a company is to come in and say, well, what about this?
Jennifer Yonnelly, you are married to Mark. And you perform in the company?
I do, yes.
Uh-huh. So how did you first – I know you began as a dancer with the company, didn't you, before you and Mark got married?
Yes, well, he actually started the company and asked me to be a part of it from the very first season. So I was very lucky to be able to kind of get a start with him. But we were friends for a long time as well.
So. Where are you from originally?
I am originally from the Washington, D.C. area, Northern Virginia.
And Mark, you're from Kansas City.
I am.
Originally. So what's your tap background, Jennifer?
It's interesting. I started dancing when I was about 7, and I was into ballet. I was really into ballet until I got into college. I went to Oklahoma City University, and from there I really fell in love with tap dance. Came out to Chicago, and the rest is history.
I would think going from ballet to tap would be a big jump. Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
That's bad. Michael, Spring to Dance began last night. Who performed last night?
Well, we had 10 companies, and the local ones was Leverage and Big Muddy Dance Company, representation from the city. And we had companies from Chicago, and we had companies from Memphis, and we have companies from New York City, and we had a company from Little Rock, Arkansas. We had two small dance companies, ballet companies that we had never shown before that we wanted people to get acquainted with. And the evening concluded with Ballet Memphis performing, which we have brought here several times, and they were absolutely superb.
Well, is it fair to ask you if one or two of those companies jumped out to you in their performance last night?
Well, I would say in some ways the Ballet Memphis and the Big Muddy were special presentations. They engaged the audience in a way that totally different, and they were really taken by it. But it would be unfair to say because, I mean, you can't compare them with Joel Hall, which is, you know, African-American, you know, root-driven dancers and totally different than what the balletic sensitivity of the Ballet Memphis are.
Well, Mark, Chicago Tap Theater is going to be performing on Saturday night.
We are.
So what do you have in store for us?
Well, I have to tell you, we're pretty excited. We're actually going to be doing a world premiere. When we were invited to perform again this year and to bring it to the beautiful, beautiful stage that we're going to get to be on, we knew we wanted to do something special. So we began work right away, and we are going to be doing a piece that we are calling Build. And like all of our work, it will feature live music. So that's kind of a fun element that people can look forward to.
How does that work? You certainly...
I don't pay them enough, but that's okay. I don't care.
I mean, does each group have their... each group obviously has their own music. It can't all be live for 10 different groups.
No, not at all. Matter of fact, all of it's canned, or whatever the term is now that you have DVDs or, you know, iPods or whatever they use. No, we can't afford that. You know, each of the shows, it's an extremely expensive enterprise because we bring the 10 people and... We try and be as fair as possible to give them a decent wage, but it's not enough. But for us, it's a huge amount for each performance.
But your music is live, Mark.
Yes.
It is live. But we made a critical decision about 3 or 4 years ago that while we could easily maybe accommodate 8 to 9 dancers and pay 8 or 9 dancers and work with recorded music, it seemed that the tap, especially due to its kind of deep nature and its deep connection to music, that we were really doing a disservice to that specific art form. So we started cutting down how many company members we had, but supplementing that with live musicians.
So what type of musicians do you have? What is the music, I guess I'm asking?
For this show, we have bass, guitar, violin, and drums.
Does that make a difference, Jennifer, as a dancer? Whether the music's live or canned, make any difference to you?
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun when you get to dance to live music, especially as... Tap is such a musical art form, and sometimes you get to improv with live musicians, which really just makes it collaborative, and just you feel like you're just part of the music. So
what's your role exactly in this production?
Besides dancer, I'm also the business manager of the company, and I've helped the company grow since its inception 11 years ago, and it's been a fun and wild ride. So.
That's an interesting aspect to a creative business, you know, the business side. Mm-hmm. Not all creative people are good at the business side.
That is
are
for
they?
Sure. No. No, they are not.
So has that been an asset to you, having Jennifer, you know, she's close to you begin with, but then to fulfill that aspect of the company?
It has made a huge difference. When I talk to my colleagues who also have dance companies, especially if they're around the same age we are, they will sometimes say, you know, how have you been – so lucky to be in a financially secure position, to be getting tour dates, you know, as young as we were many years ago, and then to continue building upon that. And I always tell people that our secret weapon is Jennifer, that having a business manager from day one is probably the first thing any artistic enterprise should do above and beyond figuring out what it is they're doing artistically.
You can relate to that.
Oh, totally. And I think that it's very important that there's a trust, because usually you find the artistic end and the executive end fight with each other. One is looking at one way. And I had that experience myself when I created the Hartford Ballet. I had people that worked for a vision, and then it became very easy to do. When I went to Arizona, we had people that were working against us, and it eventually did not work. That's why when I came here, I said I'll be both, so I can fire myself or hire myself. And, you know, and I'll take the blame for whatever comes. But it's vital, I think, and it's great that they have each other and they can trust what the other person has to give.
Well, in addition to Chicago Tap Theater, who else is on stage Saturday?
Well, Saturday we have Grand Rapids Ballet, which is a young company out of, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Lucky Plush, which is also out of Chicago area, which we brought here for the first time some 7 or 8 years ago, and they had a huge success, and since then they've gone all over the world. Matco is going to be representing our own city. And Dancing Wheels, which is a mixed ability company out of Cleveland, Ohio, is going to be performing a work that I actually choreographed for them. So that should be exciting as well.
Well, we'd hope to have Camille A. Brown of the Camille A. Brown and Dancers on with us today. She wasn't able to make it, but she's from the New York area. So she'll be performing
today.
Her group will be performing this evening.
Yeah,
tell me about her.
She's an incredible performer. She's an incredible young choreographer that is coming to the scene like a comet. Her work is powerfully in the themes that she deals with without overstating the fact that they have to be shown through a theatrical manner. So she does deal with items and issues that affect, in her case, mostly African-American women, and does it in a manner that is very compelling. You look at her performances and your hair stands up.
Well, Mark and Jennifer, am I right? I don't usually think of tap as like telling a story as other forms of jazz might do. Am I right in thinking that way?
Yeah, I think there is some precedent within some of the Hollywood films. Certainly Fred Astaire used tap occasionally to convey story, as did Gene Kelly and some other amazing artists. But very often tap has served primarily as a divertissement. You'd have a plot of a film or a show, and then at some point out come the tap dancers, and for 3 minutes they do their thing and they leave. And it very often has no connection to the plot or the characters within the show itself. And that's okay, and that's certainly a part of our history that I love and proud of, because so many amazing performers came out of that tradition. At the same time, I was lucky enough in my dance upbringing to work with people who came from the contemporary world or the modern world or the jazz world. And I was looking at the work they were doing, and I found it so rich and conceptually interesting. And I wanted to say, well, why can't we do that with tap? And certainly I'm not the only tap dancer to have ever done that. There have been some amazing pioneers within our art form that have kind of explored different veins of tap. But I think we do it in our own way, and certainly the live music element is part of that. But also just the fact that we have a core group of incredibly strong dancers right now.
And Jennifer, with a background in ballet, well, ballet certainly, I mean, that definitely tells a story. So you know the contrast there personally.
Oh, absolutely. In the way that Mark choreographs some of our pieces, we get to use our entire bodies instead of just our feet to tell the story. So that's what I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So who else is on stage tonight in addition to Camille A. Brown?
Well, we will open. There's a group out of San Francisco called Raw Dance, which is very interesting, and they're in the small theater as a whole. Afriki Lolo is going to be part of it. They're a local dance company. The St. Louis Ballet, which is also a local dance company, will be. Camille, as you mentioned, Dance Theater of Harlem is going to be there today. And Amy Seiwert also. An Eisenhower, so from all over the country.
I'm curious, Jennifer and Mark, are there any groups that are performing during this 3-day event that you're particularly interested in seeing or maybe familiar with either one?
Well, I love Dance Theater of Harlem. I actually, in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., they used to do a residency program that I used to attend. So, and I haven't seen them since then. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great company.
Yeah, and I'd say, you know, all the companies that are representing Chicago here are people that we know and very often attend their shows, and they come to see our shows. And one of my personal favorites is Chicago Dance Crash, just because I always like how they take dance and make it especially relevant to kind of all audiences. They're always bringing in younger people in particular to see dance, which can be a challenge.
There are a couple that caught my attention only because of the names of the companies, and that may be indicative or not, but I just want to throw these out here and see what you can tell me about them. Ariel Dance Chicago.
Yeah.
Ariel.
They performed yesterday, and she did a solo, and basically they use all kinds of different materials in which they're suspended in the air. Although the company can work with different techniques in the floor level, this was only with a kind of a bungee cord and she created certain designs and flowed it through the whole thing. Very, very exciting to watch.
And another one caught my eye from San Francisco, Raw Dance.
Yeah, Raw Dance is in a little bit in like Chicago crash mode. They are trying to push the envelope to find out what they can do that would be without offending anybody, without, you know, getting anybody upset, but perhaps maybe wanting to get them upset.
So reading between the lines, that means they make some people upset.
They could, and they should.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of something that you said earlier before we went on the air, Michael, that when you founded the Spring to Dance Festival, that in the early days you took some risks. Is that what you're referring to as far as presentations that maybe might be unusual to some people, and it ended up working out?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was very interesting for me to see that whereas we felt somewhat hesitant about going so far left as I was pushing them, those particular performances became the center of attention of the audience, and they liked them. Now, will they go and see them in a full evening? I'm not sure. But within the context, they were fighting to just go see this unusual thing.
And one thing we should emphasize, too, is with 10 companies performing every night, performance times per company is like 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, because of it, there is a limit thing.
We try. Which is a good thing, I think.
Well, the festival is like a little bit of a buffet, okay? It is for the audience to acquaint themselves with Chicago Tap Theater and with the other companies and then make their own choices.
Dan St. Louis presents Spring to Dance 2014. It opened last night. Performances left today and tomorrow. Let's go through this quickly. Because each evening sort of is broken down into three sort of components. It begins early, 5:30, with performances in the lobby.
Yes, we invite non-professional companies.
Watch your words.
Young kids, schools to perform in the lobby, and that they showcase themselves. At 6 o'clock, you go to the Lee Theater, which is a small, very intimate 375-seat theater where we present four companies, which are the ones that maybe will upset you or maybe not. And then we take you at 7:30 to the AB Theater, where there's a different scope to the performance, the more people, and the larger companies will be able to perform.
Now, the Lee Theater performance is a little tricky, right, because I think it's limited seating. So you're not charging extra for tickets, but you need to get a ticket. Would you explain that?
Yeah. Well, what happens with the Lee Theater is that it starts at 6, and the AB Theater allows you to go in. But you can only go in if you get a little green ticket, because there are only 375 seats that we can have. So it becomes a really madhouse of people fighting to get in, which is great. We're trying to simplify for next year, but right now I enjoy the fights.
Dan St. Louis presents Spring to Dance, continuing tonight and tomorrow night. If you'd like more information about what we've been talking about, go to our website, stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to the Two Hills website. You can find out ticket information, that sort of thing. We've been talking with Michael Utoff, Artistic and Executive Director of Dance St. Louis, and from the Chicago Tap Theater, Mark Yonnelly and Jennifer Yonnelly. Thank you all for being here.
A pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Opera Theater's new festival season. This is St. Louis Public Radio.